All right. We are continuing our series? I don't know. Teaching series in looking at these rhythms of family discipleship. And the first one we opened up by challenging families to intentionally spend time as a family in God's Word. The second week, Gianni covered the rhythm of prayer and encouraging us to make prayer a part of our daily rhythm, to pray in the morning and to pray at night, following the biblical examples in Scripture. Last week, Blake taught on Christian fellowship and the beauty that was the church in Acts 2, that they had all things in common. He challenged us to consider, hey, what are some of the things that we kind of hold really closely that if we saw someone in our community, in our church family in need, we would be willing to even surrender those things, to sell those things, to make sure that we were taking care of the needs of the church. And challenged us to spend time this week in Christian fellowship. And I know I say this every week, it's been a busy week, and I wonder how these rhythms are taking effect. How are they coming into effect in your lives? Do you find it pretty easy to do these things, or as simple and kind of basic, elementary as they seem, do you find them to be a little bit more challenging to be intentional with those? How has it been this past month? Pretty easy? Pretty hard? Kind of somewhere down the middle? Little come see, come saw? Little so-so? Well, today we're going to go into the fourth, second to last rhythm, and we're going to be talking about the biblical concept of service, of serving others. When I say serve, or service, or serving, what comes to your mind immediately? What are the things that come to your mind when I say serve, or you hear serve? Family, okay? Selflessness. What else? Yeah. Food. Yeah, like serving food, right? It's probably like one of the jobs, right? Cool. What else? Humility. Yeah, Esmond. Work. Okay. What? Tennis, there we go. All right. What else? What comes to mind? How many of you guys think of being successful? Does that come to your mind when you think of serving? Like, that's one way to become successful in life. We probably don't think that way, right? Our culture, when we talk about success in life, it's the very opposite of serving. It's the more people that serve you, most likely the more successful or powerful you are. And yet, what we're going to talk about today as we talk about serving, we're going to see that Jesus is the King of the universe, and yet he says that his master principle, the thing that he chooses to do, is to serve. That this is Jesus's MO, is to serve others. This is an expressly biblical concept, and it is a core Christian principle. I think of some of the things that go on around the world and the different humanitarian efforts. And a lot of these organizations have their roots in Christianity. Christians going out and saying, we must go and serve. We must consider the needs of others and do whatever we can to meet those needs. We must go take our neighbor's trash cans out for them and help them because they're wheelchair bound. This is an expressly Christian or biblical concept, and it is a Christian principle. Jesus says himself that he came not to serve in Mark 10, but not to be served, but to serve. The King of the universe came not to be served by those who would be his subjects, but to serve his subjects, to serve his people. I love that Oswald Sanders says in his book, Spiritual Leadership, that Jesus's master principle, that the chief principle of Christ is service. And we see this as he takes up the cross, right? That he serves his people by laying down his life, the ultimate display of service for others. What I want to do this morning as we talk about this, I want it to be very practical and interactive. And what I want to do is I want to introduce what I think are four different spheres of influence, four different spheres of each and everyone's life that they can see as an opportunity to serve. And so we're going to kind of go through these four. And then today we're going to bring up some ministry leaders and volunteers and parents to be a part of a quick panel. But I want to talk about the first sphere where we do life, where we have opportunities to serve, is going to be first and foremost service in the home. The home is the first place where we learn and practice service. I think of when my wife wakes up and she gets breakfast going for the children, right? Or my wife wakes up and I wake up and there's a cup of warm coffee, right? Just like ready to go. This is where we start to learn and practice and model for our families service. So what does it mean to serve in the home? Where are some biblical examples of serving within the home? There's an illustration in John chapter 13 where Jesus takes his disciples and Jesus is on his way to the cross. It's Maundy Thursday. Jesus is going to institute communion. He brings his disciples in and he models this spirit of humility and service by washing his disciples' feet. He tells them as he's washing their feet that he must do this. It says, the text says that he takes off his outer garments. He wraps a towel around his waist. He takes on the posture of a servant, even though he's king, and he bows down and begins to wash his disciples' feet, something that was reserved only for slaves and servants. And then Jesus tells his disciples, "Do you understand what I have done for you? If I, your master, right, have served you, then you must go and do the same thing." In fact, it's really interesting that the only time Jesus explicitly says that he is setting an example to his disciples is when he is washing their feet, calling them to serve one another. There's certainly times where Jesus modeled teaching and Jesus modeled compassion and Jesus modeled evangelism, right? And other acts. But this is the one time Jesus exclusively says, "I have given you this example that you should also then do it." What are some practical applications and ways that we can serve within the home, within starting with our family, our core family? Students could help with chores without being asked and without getting paid. Yeah, I heard that. Wait, whoa. What's in it for me? Nothing. That's like the beauty of serving, right? Just a joyful heart. Students can show kindness and patience to family members. When we think about serving, it's not just doing something, but it's also extending grace to a family member that you know is kind of on the edge, but they've just had a really hard day. So you can serve by considering their day and what they need and extending grace to them. Serving in the home can be practical by listening attentively to the needs and concerns of your family members. Serving can be practical by preparing meals and helping with cleanup. Serving practically can look like taking care of younger or older family members. I was talking to one of my seniors who was talking about how difficult and challenging it is to watch his brother. And we were talking last Wednesday in the small groups about being patient. And I said, "Who are difficult people in your life?" And he's like, "I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but it's my younger brother." And I was like, what is difficult? And he's like, "Well, I'm always taking care of him," right? But that is a practical way that students can serve, right? To take care of younger or older family members. I know that there are many families in this church who are actively caring for their elderly in-laws or grandparents. And this is one of the ways we model for our children this posture, this of humility and serving practically by taking care of younger and older people in our family. Paul says in Philippians 4, he says, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. And this is countercultural, right? Because you think, man, if I want to get ahead in life, what do I have to do? Look out for me and mine, right? What are my interests and how do I serve myself by attaining these goals? How do I serve myself by climbing these different ladders? And Paul says he echoes Jesus by saying, look, if you want to be Spirit-filled, if you want to be Christ-like, if you want to imitate your Creator and Savior, then you should not just look after your own interests, but also look to the interests of others. This requires some mind renewing, right? And in some ways, some unlearning of the things that we learn in our culture. I want to ask you guys a question. How can you show practical acts of service within your family this week? If you were to think of this sphere of influence being your home with your family, and some of those practical things, how would you put this into practice this week? How could you serve in your family this week? Cooking and cleaning. All right, Zeke and I are going to talk later, and we'll be like, hey, Zeke, how was it this week? How's cooking and cleaning? Yeah, Drew. Okay. Awesome. Yeah, I hear some parents going, amen. What are some practical things you see around your home or in your family where you go, man, yeah, if I took a posture of humility and one of service, this is what this would practically look like in my family. Others. Yeah. And without grumbling. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe picking up extra chores, right? Your sibling comes up, they're like, wait, the dishes are done? And you're just like, I got you. Like, I wanted to serve you. I wanted to bless you. Yeah, so these are ways that we can practically follow the model and example of Christ in our own families. And I think this is where it should start. I think there's a lot of times where we go out and we want to be serving towards other people. But then we look at our own families and go, but you're good, right? You're good. You'll understand. And yet Jesus did it with his family. He did it with his disciples. He did it in his inner circle and served them and modeled that service. Another sphere is the sphere of our neighborhood, our community, the neighborhood that we live in. Oftentimes when we think of community, we automatically as Christians go to the church because we go, that's my church community. And I can certainly serve there, but we kind of isolate ourselves from our neighborhood, our neighbors, those who live around us. It's funny because in Luke chapter 10, a lawyer comes to Jesus, putting him to the test, asking him, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says to him in verse 26, what is written in the law? Again, for the first week, what does God require, desire, and deserve of you? And he says, well, you got to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? And your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, yeah, you understand this. You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. Verse 29 says, but he, desiring to justify himself, says to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Well, Jesus, if I'm called to love my neighbor and to serve my neighbor, tell me then, riddle me this, who is my neighbor? And Jesus, you know, tells the story of, or the parable of the Good Samaritan. This man falls among robbers. He's stripped naked. He's beaten half to death. He's left there to die. And all of his Christian community, so to speak, go around him because it is either unclean to deal with this. It is inconvenient to stop because they have much ministry going on. And then someone who would have been considered an enemy of the Jews shows up and shows kindness, compassion. And he takes him in and he takes him to the doctor and he says, here is 2 denarii. Anything that, any of the cost that comes after that, I will come back, I will return and I will pay for it myself. And Jesus asks this, this lawyer, who do you think was the one who proved to be a neighbor? And the lawyer said, the one who showed mercy. And I think of what would it look like for our, not just in our church, not just in our home, but in on our street, on the street in which we live, if we are known as being people who show mercy, if we're people who go and serve and love and unleash kindness and compassion on our own street, in our own neighborhoods. Jesus used this story to really open our eyes to say, anyone around us who you see is in need, that is a neighbor. That is someone whom you can and should serve. What are some practical applications for serving in our neighborhood? What are some practical ways that you could serve in your neighborhood this week? Yeah. Yeah, helping yard cleanup. Yeah, Taylor. Babysitting? Babysitting a neighbor's babies? Yeah. Taking the neighbor's trash cans out for them. I wish you lived on my street. That would be awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Like going over and saying, hey, is there any, I noticed that your yard is looking a little unruly, right? Or I noticed that there's a lot of trash around this neighborhood. I wonder if we could just clean up. We could just take care of those who are around us. Yes, Eva in the back. Doing all of their house chores for a whole month. Wow, that's very spiritual. That was very spiritual. Any others? Practical ways. When you think of, like, I live on Audrey Way, and I think of how I go and mow my yard on Saturdays, and I look across and I see the other houses that are unmowed, and I just go, my yard looks better, right? Well, I could practically go and serve Paul and serve Ken by going and just edging their lawn and mowing their yards, right? What are some practical ways you could serve in your neighborhood? You can help an elderly neighbor with errands and yard work. I know that there's a service called DoorDash and Amazon Fresh and those different grocery delivering things. But if you saw someone on your street who you know was kind of like a shut-in, right? You could say, hey, mom, can we go and pick up groceries for them? Could you imagine the impact it would make in their lives to know that there's a Christ follower who's looking out for them and seeking to serve their needs? All right, I'm going to skip through a couple of these and just kind of hit bullet points. All right, the next fear is in our work or school. In Colossians 3:23 through 24, Paul calls Christians in whatever we do, work at it with all of your heart, as working unto the Lord or for the Lord, not human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving, not men. Paul, in context, is talking to servants. He's talking to bond servants and he's telling them to show respect for their earthly masters. And in all of their work, without grumbling, seek to do everything that they do for the Lord and to do it out of service to the Lord. And I think when we consider school, it often feels like we're servants, right? That we're just going through the motions of school, or maybe your job, you feel like, man, this is one area where I don't really have any authority. My boss just bosses me around. He tells me everything I have to do. I feel that way sometimes. Just kidding, Blake. I'd never feel that way. But what are some ways that we can practically take on a spirit of service in our work and in our school. Not just saying, oh, that's where I get to kind of grumble. That's where I get to be a murmurer, right? But take on that posture of humility. As you think about how you go through the rhythms of your day at school or at work, how could you practically serve? What are some things that you could do? Yeah, helping out with classmates who struggle in school, right? How else? Yeah. How about extending patience towards a difficult person, right? Or seeing someone who kind of tends to sit alone and kind of be by themselves, going and inviting that friendship, extending that friendship and that fellowship to them. What else? Other practical ways that you can think of in your own rhythm, in your own work or school. Yeah, Daniel. Clean up the nasty cafeteria. Maybe give your lunch to your lunch lady, right? Like your lunch period to help her clean in the cafeteria. Helping classmates or colleagues with tasks. Being positive and an encouraging presence. Offering to help a teacher or supervisor with extra tasks. Being a peacemaker in that area where it's so easy to gripe and complain, right? But to, or even to gossip. But to be someone who brings peace to your school or peace to your work environment. In Philippians 2:3, Paul says, also, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit. Rather, in humility, consider others and their needs as more important or more significant or of more value than your own. Again, this is a totally countercultural mindset. And then the last one is serving in your church. Utilizing our gifts and talents to build up the body of Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:4-7, he says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of works and working, but in all of them and in everyone is the same God at work. There's this reality that we are the body of Christ and there are many members of this body and we are all given unique spiritual gifts and talents and abilities to edify the saints, right? I talk to the students about leading worship in here. I say it's not about, you know, growing in your musicianship so you can make it to the main stage and everyone can see you. You can be under the lights, right? Or you can go and be a traveling worship musician. God has given you this gift, this talent, this ability to serve in the church, to serve the practical needs of people who maybe can't play instruments and want to worship through music, right? And so we have different abilities that God has given us, not for our own glory, not to bolster our own selves, but to serve and to edify each other in the church. Practical ways that we can use our gifts and serve within the church is by volunteering in children's ministry. Some of you high school students, I have seen you work with children and you are fantastic with children. It is so encouraging, right? But sometimes it's hard to give up that free time or to make those sacrifices to go and serve in children's ministry. And yet God has given you patience. He's given you gentleness with children. You should use those gifts and talents to serve. Helping with church events and outreach programs. Offering to help with maintenance and cleaning. Praying for the needs of the church and its members. Showing hospitality to new members or visitors. Peter says in 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. What are some practical ways you can think of that you can serve within Sun River Church with your gifts, your talents, your abilities. Nursery. Yeah, what else? There's many ways in which you're already serving, right? Maybe you don't know it. Maybe you're just like, yeah, I do these things. Like I run the cameras over there. And I don't even think of it as taking on this posture of humility and saying, I'm going to use these gifts that God has given me to serve. I want to challenge you guys to think through those different spheres, whether it's your home or your neighborhood or your school and work and your church community. Think, God, how can I be a better imitator of you and take up this service for the sake of others and for your glory? I'm going to invite the children's ministry team and youth ministry team and volunteers and any parents that I talked to this past week about joining this panel, please come up. And we're just going to talk about some more areas that we see in children and youth for students and families to be able to serve. And so we'll do a quick discussion panel. So I wanted you guys hear from me a lot, and you hear from Blake. You've heard from Gianni, but I wanted to just hear from other people who are serving. Sarah, obviously you are running the children's program and all the children's ministries. And so you have more insight on how I can, as a father of young children, can help to model, teach these things in my children, right, in a practical way. And then Sarah Holland, you serve in youth ministry as our admin and just volunteer extraordinaire. But you're also a mother of a junior hire and a soon-to-be junior hire. And so you can speak to the junior high aspect as well. So I'm just going to hand this off to you and just ask you, what are some practical ways, maybe Sarah, in the home, that we can teach our young children to serve each other?
Service means sacrifice, right? So I think you mentioned it, and someone else might have mentioned that it is in the family sphere. It's our primary spot that God gave us to serve. So I think keeping that in mind for babies, I think it's asking them to put something in the trash. You know, I have friends with littles, and they will give them something, ask them to put that in the trash, asking them to serve, put their toys away. I think those are really concrete, simple ways to get littles involved. For preschoolers, you can ask them, maybe you're cutting a cake and you say, can you serve your sister first? You know, can you serve dad first? You know, that sort of thing. Getting them to think outside of what they want, but that they're part of a team and part of just the household, to love on each other. I think for elementary kids, it's thinking through how to get them to serve in a way where they're thinking of others primarily. And I think especially from 0 to 5th grade, getting kids to think about, we're not just doing this because we love our family. We're doing this because we love God, and we're serving Him first, and we're loving Him. And by loving Him, we're also loving others. So I think just practically asking kids to participate joyfully. I know that's hard. I think also from a parent perspective, I think it's hard. It's tiring. Sometimes it's easier to serve outside the home than inside the home, right? Because there's a end time, you know, when you go outside the home and serve. But in the family, it can feel relentless, especially for the young parent or people with young kids like Lewis. And so I think you were talking about what's kind of first steps, is I would say pray and ask God to soften your heart and recognize, okay, in what ways am I not willing to serve? God's done that for me a lot, where I'm just tired at night and I'm done. But He tells me to continue serving even when I'm tired, you know. And so I think that's important, just to have the right heart posture and remember where it's coming from for parents as well.
I think it's interesting because when we think of young children, we don't often think, how can I teach my child to serve? It's like, man, I'm serving, I'm taking care of, I'm looking out for, right? And I think you mentioned even asking your children to serve their sibling. You're using that language, right? Instead of like, hey, go pick this up or go do this. You're saying, will you serve? And so you're kind of instilling that language of service, right? As opposed to chores or just what mom and dad said because they said. Sarah, what, you know, you serve in high school, and you have junior higher and soon to be junior higher. I feel like youth, they do serve a lot, but not always with the, again, that language of will you serve in these various ministries. How can junior hires be encouraged to serve within the church and not just see church as a place for them to catch their friends and hang out, have donuts and dodgeball, but to really participate in the church and use their gifts and talents in the church?
I think it starts first in the home. And like Sarah was saying, and you were saying, like with the language of service and instilling that heart of service early and at a young age, and teaching that and modeling that. But then kids get into junior high, and as a parent, it's so easy to fill their schedules with activities and opportunities for them to learn and develop skills and everything. But as a parent, just being intentional about helping them carve out time and space to serve, helping them find opportunities. There's so many opportunities here at church that you might not think of. I think children's and nursery and volunteering there, we have a lot of students who volunteer in those areas. And that's kind of the go-to, the first thought. But there's also, like you mentioned, running the slides or running the cameras in service. And then there's the things that come from a heart of service where you just identify a need and you see it. And whether it's after the junior high game night and there's trash everywhere and just going and picking up the trash, or whether it's a group of students all, you know, you're with your friends and you're having a great time talking and catching up with them, but a new student comes in or somebody else comes in and they're kind of by themselves, and going over and pulling that person into the group. That's service. That's serving your fellow students. And I think those are some big ways that we can always be looking to serve, putting up chairs, putting away chairs after different things, things like that.
Yeah, and I think it's easy for us to get locked into programmatic opportunities to serve. So, like, where's the serving program where I can join this team and be a part of this weekly, you know, program? And I would just encourage students to kind of like what you said, Sarah, is like, if there is something that you see, right, God will give you a sensitivity, and he will show you opportunities. And oftentimes those opportunities are not going to be within a program, right? One of the things that my mom did with us when we were young, it was very inconvenient and sometimes awkward, but she would just go and love on the elderly ladies or the widowers in our church. And she would tag us along, and they're like, hey, here's a very practical need. You know, Papa Wayne needs help. And so, Chris, you're going to sit with him and you're going to learn how to play chess while I clean his house. And it wasn't programmed. It wasn't anything that was even announced. It was something that my mom she saw that need. And then she said, hey, we're going to do it. But it really did kind of instill that, like, hey, if I see someone and they have a need, I can do it and go and do what I can to fulfill that need. So I encourage you guys, not just within the programmed opportunities to serve like SMI or VBS, but as you see needs, do what you can, say yes to what you can say yes to go and serve. Any of those other spheres you guys want to touch on, either at school or in the neighborhood? I think we kind of in the home and in the church is more practical. Yeah, you can add to neighborhood.
Oh, I need this. just one thing for, thinking again, the 0 through 5th grades. I think as Christians, when you have neighbors who are not Christian a lot of times we had conversations of just loving them, but not expecting them to be loving in return. And it was always frustrating, like, but you're asking us to be kind and compassionate, but they're not. And just talking about how they can't be set to the same standards, right? And so a lot of times God's kindness leads us to repentance, right? And so being kind even when our neighbors are not, especially playing with friends or whatever. Also, I think kids are so cute. So if you use them, like Chris was saying, he probably brought joy to that older man because kids just are easy to connect with. And so we would deliver cookies or stuff to our neighbors to try to encourage it. And with a little note, inviting them to Sun River Church, maybe for Christmas service or something. So I think there are many, many ways to connect with your neighbors just by waving and smiling. Even if you don't wave and smile usually, starting to do that, right? So there are ways to begin to think, okay, how can I love these people around me? Mm-hmm.
And I think that as we kind of wrap this up, this is something that I feel like Sun River Church does really well at. And so we might be sitting here going, serving, yes, I do this. Like, we're pretty good at serving as a church, and it might feel like a review. But I would just encourage you guys this week, as you consider those four spheres of influence, our challenge to you this week is consider how you can be mindful to serve within those spheres this week. Don't just default to church or your neighborhood or work or family, but look at those as like, this is as I'm going, I'm interacting in these different spheres, and there's an opportunity for me to honor the Lord by serving others. We love you guys. Students, if you are meeting with your prayer partner after church, go ahead and you guys can head out and do that now. Otherwise, we'll see you guys on Wednesday night or over in the worship service. Bye. Have a great day.